You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G. D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team.
Yo, 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 Dodger fans. Welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team, every day. This episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the app and join us every week to get in on the action. Spotify Green Room, changing the way we talk sports. This is a daily podcast covering the World Series champion Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I'm Vince Samperio, Chavez Ravine Fiends, here solo dolo, shout out to Justin Hickin for that, to talk about the Dodgers' loss to the Padres. Jeff went to the Angels game last night and wasn't able to record. I'll be at the Dodger game tonight in San Diego, so he'll probably be solo dolo tomorrow. But yeah, Dodgers lost 3-2. Another annoying game against the Padres. It seems obviously any game they lose is annoying, but with the way the Padres fans act and even the way the Padres act, just a little slightly more annoying than other games. But either way, we'll talk a little bit about Clayton Kershaw's start, the Dodgers offense. The sticky substance situation continues to garner attention, so we'll talk a little bit about that and figure out some other stuff to talk about to figure out the rest of the episode. But before all that, a quick reminder to follow or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. When you get in your car or if you're at home, tell your smart device to play a podcast Locked On Dodgers. All right, so like I said, Dodgers lost 3-2. They had a few chances there late in the game. Weren't able to come through on offense again. Clayton Kershaw threw well enough. Gave up a couple home runs that led to those three runs, but ended up going six innings. Pitched longer than his opposition, Blake Snell, who only went five innings, but Dodgers weren't able to capitalize against him. And then the Dodgers got shut out by Mike Marsh's long-lost twin brother. I don't remember the guy's name. And then a guy making his Major League debut. He did happen to throw 99, so it wasn't like, you know, just a sad sucker who was making his Major League debut. But either way, that happened. They got a run in the ninth off Melanson. Austin Barnes hit another pinch-hit home run in the ninth inning. But as we learned the last time, Austin Barnes hit a pinch-hit home run in the ninth inning. The Dodgers don't win those games so far. But either way, yeah, just the overall, just an annoying game. Kershaw, first inning, gives up a walk, gets Tatis out on the first pitch, so you get a little bit excited. And then Jake Cronenworth, who has just been a thorn in the Dodgers' side ever since the Rays gave him to the Padres with Tommy Pham, ended up hitting a two-run home run on a hanging slider, I believe. And then later on in the game, Kershaw tried to go back-to-back curveballs to Kim, and Kim deposited the second one into the left field seats. Kershaw, after the game, just said obviously missed execution on the slider and on the curve. He said he thought he liked the matchup because of how Kim swung at the first curveball, wanted to go back to it. Kim made a little bit of an adjustment, and yeah, didn't work out for Kershaw. He obviously not happy with his performance, but you know, it has been better than some of his performances lately, so that's a good sign. Check out Machado three times. You got Tatis out every single time, which is also more annoying because you know, the Dodgers still lost, and even though they didn't have any contributions from Tatis or Machado, at least on the offensive side. Defensively, the Dodgers loaded the bases in the seventh or eighth inning, with nobody out. Will Smith came up and got a hanging breaking ball right over the plate and decided to roll over a slow roller to third base. Machado made a nice play to tag Turner and get the out at second to get a double play. While a run did score, obviously the right run didn't end up scoring, or the right amount of runs didn't end up scoring. So yeah, just the, I don't know, it's hard to find a different word other than annoying, because that's what it was. And then, like I said, Austin Barnes came up in the ninth, hit a pinch hit home run, got the Dodgers within one. Chris Taylor then did hit a single. Max Muncy, who returned to the lineup, Zach Rex ended up being the guy that got sent back down. Max Muncy walked Oh, no, not Max Muncy. Max Muncy walked in the previous inning. Justin Turner came up after Chris Taylor singled in the ninth, put a charge into one down to right field, but just wasn't far enough, wasn't in the gap enough, and the Dodgers lost. The good sign, I mean, for the Dodgers is their bullpen once again shut things down. They only needed to throw two innings, Victor Gonzalez, and like Trinan combined for the seventh, and then Jimmy Nelson looked really good in the eighth. So at the very least, the Dodgers bullpen has looked good the last couple of days. The offense and starting pitching left a little bit to be desired, but who knows how that's going to go. You know, the Padres, it does seem the Padres, I don't know if they play hard. I don't watch Padre games unless they're playing the Dodgers. But it does look like they care about these games more than the Dodgers do. It does look that they play a little bit harder than the Dodgers do. You know, Manny Machado's out here, and anytime he plays the Dodgers out here, stealing bases and beating out, or not beating out grounders, but running hard 90s. And, yeah, just seeming really focused compared to other times. And we've seen Manny Machado in a Dodger uniform in a World Series, and he didn't look this focused on and intent on winning a baseball game. So, hey, if he had to, you know, go somewhere else and get paid $300 million to find motivation, that's cool for him. But, yeah, like I said, the Dodgers, I don't think it's a matter of they need to get more amped for these games. They just definitely don't look as charged up as the Padres do. In the long run, there's still 90 games left, and it's probably best for the Dodgers to not get amped up like we talked about on yesterday's episode, to get amped up every single game. But I don't know. Think about the fans. You know, we don't have to deal. The Dodgers don't necessarily have to deal with Padre fans as much if they just don't go on social media. I guess other people cannot go on social media, but some people have to be on social media. And the Padre fans are just a little bit more annoying than they previously have been. But the Dodgers can salvage this series. Trevor Bauer pitches versus Joe Musgrove. I'll be in attendance, so hopefully, I don't remember what my record is on the season, but it's very, very good and much better than what the Dodgers win percentage is currently. So hopefully I can bring some luck. Hopefully Trevor Bauer. I'm going to talk a little bit about Trevor Bauer in a little bit in regards to the sticky stuff situation. So I'm going to cut off right here. We'll come back and talk about all that kind of situation. Not just Dodgers, but around the league, what happened. And then just kind of, you know, what I think we could maybe see from Trevor Bauer. So make sure to keep it locked on Dodgers. This episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Spotify Green Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app's easy and free to download. And once you're in, you can talk with me, Jeff, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. You can finally join in on the conversation you listen to here every day. You'll find fans just like you on Spotify Green Room for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and of course, reacting to big news or rumors. Make sure to join us every week as we host the room. This week will probably be, I don't know, on Thursday, I'm assuming. Maybe when, maybe Jeff wants to do one tomorrow. We'll figure it out. We'll let you know. But either way, download Spotify Green Room if you haven't already done so. And make sure to follow Jeff at Snydog. He's usually the ones that starts the room. And it'll let you know. So go download the free Spotify Green Room app now. Currently available on all iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the MLB group for the latest league updates. Follow at Snydog to be notified when our room goes live. I know you won't want to miss it. We're planning to be live this week, either Wednesday or Thursday, and we can't wait to hear everyone's thoughts on the Dodgers. See you there. Spotify Green Room, changing the way we talk sports. Stonks, memes, rocket ships. Day trading can be a lot of fun, but beyond all that, if you want to grow your long-term wealth and make it to the moon, you need to open up a Wealthfront investment account today. Investing can be complicated, and only 1% of day traders usually beat the market. The odds aren't in your favor, but whether you're a beginner or you've been investing for years, Wealthfront makes it easy. They have the right tools for every portfolio. Wealthfront can create a portfolio of globally diversified, low-cost index funds personalized just for you in minutes. They can even help you lower the taxes you pay as you invest, and best of all, it's automatic. No manual trades, no picking stocks, no watching the stock market every day. Wealthfront automatically handles all the investing based on preferences you control. Wealthfront's been trusted with over $20 billion of assets, and you can get your first $5,000 managed for free by going to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB. You only need $500 to get started, to grow your wealth the easy way, and let Wealthfront do the work for you. To get your first $5,000 managed for free for life, go to Wealthfront.com/LockedOnMLB. That's WEALTHFRONT.com/LockedOnMLB to start growing your savings. Go to Wealthfront.com/LockedOnMLB and get started today. All right, so we talked about this yesterday. We've talked about this a lot in the last few weeks. But the crackdown, not the crackdowns, but the checks on foreign substance use started on Monday. And Tuesday, we got some riveting drama around the league in regards to the checks. It started over there when the Phillies and Nationals were playing. Max Scherzer was already not a fan of the checks from the get-go. Caveat real quick is I'm not sure how many players know what the rule is. I'm not sure if they're aware that they're going to get checked every time they come off the mound, or in some cases when they go to the mound, or in some cases random checks. But the ones that where you're coming off the mound, those are, you know, mandatory at this point. So when guys show that they are surprised or act perturbed when that happens, it's a little interesting to me because you know that's the one that's going to be checked. But either way, Max Scherzer wasn't a big fan. Joe Girardi ends up calling and asking for him to be checked at one point during the game. His reasoning after the game was because he saw Max Scherzer going to his hair, which he had never seen him do before. So they went, they made him take off his hat, they rubbed his hair. It was a long process and a weird situation. Max Scherzer was very upset. Max Scherzer ended up getting out of the inning, and Max Scherzer ended up, you know, staring down Joe Girardi, ended up taking off his hat and his glove and showing it toward the Phillies dugout a few times, and just general, you know, Max Scherzer's a super competitive guy, and, you know, that's not the right way to go about it with him. And, you know, Girardi's action is somewhat defensible in his mind because of what he said. Max Scherzer did say that, you know, he went to the rosin bag a lot. He couldn't find the grip that he liked, so he wanted to mix it with a little sweat, which is why he was rubbing his hair, which makes sense. If he had used some type of substance before, whether it was just sunscreen or rosin or whatever the case was, just to get some grip, now he doesn't have that. So him going to his hair would be different than what he's done in the past. So in all that, I guess it's a little bit defensible on Girardi's end. But what Clayton Kershaw said after his start, he was asked about, you know, the checks and everything else, is he was aware of what happened and the Joe Girardi calling out Scherzer to get checked. And Kershaw believes that there should maybe be a penalty for managers that call out players or ask for checks and nothing ends up being found. Max Scherzer, I believe, shared similar sentiments. He also said these are Manfred rules. Go ask him. So he's clearly not a fan of Rob Manfred at the moment and these rules. And, you know, it seems like a lot of guys aren't really great. You see a lot of upset guys when they have to take off their hat, take off their gloves, show the belt. Sergio Romo just about disrobed himself. He's playing for the A's right now. He came off the mound. He was another one where it looked like he wasn't aware that he was about to get checked. He took off his hat, put on the ground, took off his glove, put on the ground, took off his whole belt, unbuttoned his pants, and, you know, didn't pull him down, but was generally about to. And while these moments are fun, you know, funny, I guess, it is kind of a weird thing right now because, you know, some of these guys might not know that they're getting checked every time they come off the mound. So maybe once that rule continues to be implemented and once everybody knows what the rule is, maybe we'll get less antics and dramatizations once guys come off the mound. But the other point raised with Kershaw and Scherzer talking about Girardi and managers being punished, I mean, that is something that will need to be talked about. Obviously, right now, MLB is probably not going to worry about it unless it becomes a thing and managers are constantly, you know, if you're trying to mess up a guy who's in a groove, you know, someone's going 5-6 shutout innings. Like yesterday, if the Dodgers had asked for them to check Yu Darvish just because he was doing very well and they maybe want to try to throw him off and maybe agitate him a little bit, then, you know, that's something that could be weaponized here in the near future. And if as we've seen with a lot of rules and loopholes and things of that nature in baseball, if something can be exploited, if something can be used to an advantage, if the letter of the law could be used to an advantage, then teams are going to try to take advantage of that. And I think that's where this could get messy, no pun intended. And I think that's where this MLB would have to come and deal with that again and have, kind of come up with rules on the fly. Not that these sticky substances rules were on the fly. They were always there, but the implementation and enforcement of them were on the fly, and the new checking every inning and all that, that was all, made on the fly. So, yeah, I'm not sure if it's going to become weaponized, but I could see it being that way until things change. It's just, for me, it's just, I think we're for sure going to have, I've already thought that there was going to be a lockout for 2022, but I think this is another added, not bonus, but, an extra part of the CBA that maybe wasn't that thought of being an issue, and now it could be an issue. Now, MLB, the players, there's been multiple players that have asked, just work with us, find either, change the way the balls are made, change the way something with the balls in order to get better grip, or allow us to use maybe a certain substance or have an approved level of substance or whatever the case may be, just in order to get grip. Max Scherzer also brought up in his that he couldn't find the grip. He threw one up and into someone that was 95 miles an hour because of that. And he said, I'm sure that guy doesn't want to see 95 up and in. So, I'm not sure how this is going to last the rest of the season. There's still 85, 90 games or so for every team. And if this is day two and this is how things are going, I can't imagine it's going to get any better. Like I said, some guys may realize they're getting checked every inning no matter what, and that part may go away. But the weaponization of using checks in order to try to get into pitchers' heads could happen. You're going to have guys that, just ask to be checked just to whatever the case may be. I just feel like they already put themselves on a slippery slope with the way they did an in-season adjustment. And if guys hit by pitches do start going up, if injuries do start going up, what's MLB going to do? It's just not a situation that I'd want to be in if I was in upper management for MLB, but I also probably wouldn't be a situation I'd be in if I was upper management in MLB, because it wouldn't have gone about it this way. But yeah, that's just kind of the latest on the sticky stuff and the sticky situation. I'm sure there's going to be more over the course of the next few weeks. I'm sure somebody at some point is going to get suspended this year, and then we'll see what happens with the backlash of that. I was thinking about the other day, what if it just happened, Jeff talked about this a little bit, but what if three pitchers just happen to get banned within the span of 5 days? There's an overlap of about 5 days where you might be down three pitchers. Is there an appeals process? I'm not sure exactly how this is going to all go. But so far, yeah, nobody's been caught so far, but there has been a lot of action and things that have happened around baseball around this. So it's going to be something to monitor for sure. And we'll just have to wait and see what happens. So far, the Dodgers haven't really had too big of an issue with it, but it also, that doesn't mean it's not going to become an issue. So I'm going to come back. I'm going to talk a little bit about Dave Roberts' comments before the game about the shift. So make sure to keep it locked on Dodgers. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar. You already know that if you listen to this podcast and listen to the ads. But you need to go try it for yourself if you don't know from firsthand experience. And Built Bar has added two flavors for the summer, orange and strawberry. I don't think I've tried either of them, but strawberry and chocolate sounds great. Orange and chocolate might be more of a niche, but either way, they have a bunch of flavors. If you want to just go try them all, they have orange, strawberry, mint brownie, salted caramel, raspberry, coconut, double chocolate, cookies and cream, and cherry barcia. They're all covered in chocolate. They are all healthy. They all have high protein, high fiber, low carbs, low sugar. They're all good for you. Go get an 18 bar mix box. You try two of each flavor, see which ones you like. If you want to order more of just one flavor, then you can go ahead and do that. You can even do a build your own box where you can mix and match three flavors. So if you like three flavors from a mix box, you can do that. There's a lot of options for you. You just got to go to builtbar.com. And right now, if you use the promo code LOCKED15, you'll get 15% off your first order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at builtbar.com. Bet online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Taking the Dodgers the last 2 days wouldn't have got you money, but there's plenty of other ways to make money at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, not just MLB. They got NBA, NHL, UFC, MMA, boxing. They have other things. They have esports. They have poker. They have racing. They have a bunch of stuff. You need to go to BetOnline. They have a racebook, a casino. They just got different ways for you to make money, you know, kind of pick your pleasure. They're always running contests, always having promos. It's the best way, honestly, to bet on all your sports action. So before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out everything they have right there on the site. And if you use the promo code LOCKEDON at BetOnline, you'll get a 50% welcome bonus after your first deposit. That's promo code LOCKEDON at BetOnline for a 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, let's finish up with some shift talk. So before the game, Dave Roberts basically said, not directly that he'd be in favor of banning the shift, but that he wouldn't mind rules in place in order to limit or stop the shift. He's not a fan of when the Padres put Manny Machado basically in shallow right field, even deeper than other teams play shift when they put guys in short right field. And we saw in yesterday's game, Max Muncy got a hit taken away on a ball with a batting average expected of .860. You know, kudos to the Padres. They put the guy there, and it's worked out a few times for them. And, you know, the Dodgers have been benefits of the shift and have obviously no matter how what happens, if you shift, you're going to win some, you lose some. If you don't shift, you're going to win some, you lose some. But based on the numbers that they have, you're supposed to win more than you lose. That's the ideal situation. We've seen the shift work in different ways for the Dodgers, not just taking away hits per se, but making their fielders look a little bit better or have a little bit easier of a time in order to get to ground balls. We've seen the shift, combined with Max Muncy working on his defense and dropping a little weight, make him into a pretty strong and serviceable second baseman. He made a nice play on a ball yesterday, and he's made nice plays like that before. But, you know, if they weren't shifting so much, you know, maybe his range is a little more limited. He's not as good there. But in terms of you know, banning the shift, I'm sure that's going to be something in the next CBA as well. There's a few ways you can try to ban or limit the shift. There's, you only allow two fielders on the side of the infield, so you can't put the, you know, three on one side. It would, you know, depending how they word things, it would limit it a little bit, but you would still be able to probably put your regular two guys on one side of the field and then have the other guy, if the line is second base, directly behind second base, you could still have them somewhat up the middle and still shift of some sorts. But it would definitely limit it and take away a little bit of range. There's what they have done in one of the minor leagues. I forget which league exactly, where all your infielders have to have at least 1 foot on the dirt, I believe, until the ball's contact is made. So basically you can't really, you know, do anything or move until the ball's hit. So those are two ways that Dodgers could limit shifts. I honestly I'm starting to come around more to ban the shift. Before I was like, hey, you know what, if that's what the numbers say and you know, that's how winning baseball has to happen, then by all means, let's do the shift. You know, eventually, the thinking on my end was, you know, the shift's still relatively young in terms of how many teams use it and you know, that. And then now it's trickling down more into, you know, probably college ball, high school ball, maybe even little league or travel ball. I'm sure there's been shifts implemented in certain ways down, even down to those levels. I know I certainly employed a shift of sorts when I used to coach little league, just, you know, nothing extreme, but just shading a guy over a few steps or knowing where the hitters like to hit. But, you know, regardless of that, I do think that the evolution of baseball might have been if people are facing shifts from such a young age, maybe they do figure out how to hit it the other way and beat the shift, and then that'll be the way the shift combats. But as evolution in humans and animals takes forever to happen, the evolution of hitters and being able to beat the shift and basically render the shift mootless would probably take a lot longer than I might even be around. The other part of why I've kind of leaning more towards getting rid of the shift or banning the shift is, you know, obviously offense has been down, and you know, the sticky stuff is now one way they're trying to get offense back up. And you know, there is something to say if you hit a ball right up the middle and a fielder happens to be there, that is kind of annoying, especially, you know, growing up, for the most part, you're taught to hit it right back where it came from. And nowadays, if you do that, you're not going to even be a 300 hitter, depending on, you know, how they shift you. And just, you know, I saw a few people tweet about this, and just, you know, we're at a point where baseball players are some of the best athletes in the world, and baseball players are definitely way better athletes than were back in the 90s and 80s and 70s and 60s. But there's also the fact of baseball has gotten smarter in that time, and some of that, you know, intelligence has sapped some of these athleticism, and you know, has taken away a little bit of the joy of baseball, of seeing people at the highest profession perform at the highest level, especially now with the type of players we have. You know, there's guys that are, you know, would have been probably hitting 1,000 career home runs back in the days if they were sent back to like the 1920s, 1930s. You know, these days you're not facing a pitcher four or five times in a game. You're not facing a guy in the eighth or ninth inning who's already thrown 150 pitches. You're facing a guy who throws 97 with movement, or even up to 100 with movement. So it's a different ball game now. And I think it's nice to reward some of these guys that, you know, do make hard contact and then are kind of beat by math, I guess. Yeah, I don't know. I at first I was very, you know, let the shift happen, that's just the way it is. But now, you know, there are times when guys hit shots and people are moved a certain way that just isn't natural to the game of baseball. And that's talking in like a purist form. But that's just, you know, kind of the way it is and kind of the way I'm leaning now. I don't know which way of banning the shift I'm more in favor of. I'm not sure if they would go the extreme of doing both, where only two guys on each side of the infield and everyone has to have a foot on the grass. I would be a fan of all infielders having to have at least one foot on the dirt. I think that would lay, you know, give way to more singles, give way to more balls that could be hustle doubles, which is probably one of the more fun plays in baseball, and obviously lead to more runs. And just kind of, you know, the pitchers are shifting. The pitchers kind of own the game right now. It's shifting that way. Even if home runs are up, you know, everything else is down. Batting average, run scored per game, blah, blah, blah. All that stuff is down. So it is a time of pitchers. And to give the hitters a little bit of leeway back and kind of let them at least get to maybe 50-50 of, you know, pitchers dominating, hitters doing well, get some singles back in the game. I'm not sure if they'll ever be figure out how to get more steals in the game, but I am a fan of that style of baseball just in general. I understand, you know, why teams don't do that. I understand why it's not a staple of baseball, but, you know, just watching the Padres against the Dodgers, if you watched all the games so far from this season, I think the Padres have like 21 steals in the 9 games. That's a fun brand of baseball, and it's a different brand of baseball. Maybe it's more fun because it's different than what we're used to now with, you know, walk, strikeout, home run, and things like that. But the other part is the Padres have beat the Dodgers with home runs the last 2 days. So it's a combination of a bunch of things, but I'm getting a little bit away from the point where the shift. I think we're going to see some kind of limit on the shift happen. I don't know if it's going to be in this CBA, because unless, you know, if it does happen, they're going to have to, you know, maybe it's a matter of, you know what, pitchers, you can use sunscreen and rosin, but we're going to have to limit the shift. And, you know, some pitchers don't like the shift. Some pitchers do like the shift. Obviously, when it goes against you, you don't like it. But for the most part, shifts are more remembered for the times it goes against you than the times it works for you. I've always thought about sitting one season, since I watch most games anyways, and just tallying, okay, shift good, shift not good. I know there's numbers on it, but I'd like to just have that basic raw data of, okay, shift worked for you, shift didn't work for you that time, offensively and defensively. But, yeah, I think the shift is probably on its way out slowly but surely. If not in this CBA, then in the next one, if they, assuming they sign another five-year deal. But I'm falling more in that category of somehow limiting the shift. And I didn't think I'd get to that point. But, you know, baseball, as a Dodger fan and kind of a fan of the team winning in recent years, you do get a little jaded to the point of, you know, maybe this I'm a baseball fan through and through. It's going to take a lot for me not to watch baseball all the time. But I'm a little bit more... I'm starting to learn the way of the casual fan and think about the casual fan. And I don't think a casual fan wants to see a smoked ball up the middle become a routine ground ball. And I think there is something to be said there for the casual fan and, you know, getting people into the game and getting people into baseball. So I'm sure there'll be more discussions around this. I'm sure maybe Jeff will talk about it tomorrow, just his thoughts. I'm not really entirely sure his thoughts. I'm sure he's tweeted them before, but I don't remember. He tweets a lot. But either way, that's going to do it for today's episode. Thank you all for listening. Make sure to follow or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure to tell your friends and family. Honestly, like, word of mouth is really going to help. We are, like Jeff mentioned yesterday, we were in third place this last week in terms of the Locked On MLB network. The White Sox and Mets are ahead of us, which makes sense. They are teams that haven't been good in that recent, the White Sox were good last year, but teams that haven't been good in recent memory that are now in first place and doing well. So it makes sense. But hey, the Dodgers are in first place, or not in first place, but the Dodgers are a good team. Should end up winning the division for the ninth straight time. So why don't you guys rock with us? Help us out. Spread the word. You know, tell people about us and all that good stuff. And then you can follow us on social media, Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at Snydog. I'm at Vince Samperio. DMs are open on all those accounts. You can also reach us via email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com, or voicemail text at 323-863-LOCK. That's 5625. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us. When you get in your car or if you're at home, tell your smart device to play a podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one. Today on the Locked On Today podcast, how did the Clippers let the Suns do that? Get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts.
Say D. I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs. They're my Los Angeles. Your Los Angeles. Our Los Angeles. Do you think we'll really win the pennant? Bye!